Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of the Local Voter Education Program. Tonight I was inviting guests on from District 91. Let's set this up here. I have not heard from Teresa Ramirez yet. She had emailed me and said she'd be on the show tonight, and I've not heard. Let's see. Let's go here. And by any chance, well, we'll see if she calls in or is on the show or not. I do know that the other two candidates running in district, let's see, it's the for state, for the state 91, David Lowe is running. I did email him early. He never did reply, which is since it's the kind of candidates we don't need. First off, they should just reply with thank you, but no thank you, with some kind of excuse, even a bogus one, okay? It's gotten so bad they won't even give you a bogus excuse. So he did not reply, period. And when I got close to show here, I gave him a call again just to do a follow-up to make sure. And I had to talk to him, ask him if he wanted to come on. And he made it clear he did not want to come on. It's a call-in show for people to ask questions, and apparently he doesn't want to take questions from the voters. That's another thing. These are simple things that we do not need in candidates, period. I don't care what party. I don't care if your mother running. We do not need this kind of stuff in our candidates and our system, our city employees. We need them to start respecting the citizens, and they're not going to respect the citizens until we start holding them accountable. And then I see it's going to take quite a job to do that, I'll tell you. And the other person running is looks like Stephanie Kicks or whatever, the incumbent. She's in office there, and she returned no flies, you know. This is the elected official to serve us. Says pledge allegiance to the flag and justice to all, but doesn't have the time of day to return a phone call or an email to be on a show to take questions. So she doesn't answer either. The only one that answered out of the three was Ramirez, and I've not heard back from her, so I don't know how she's doing or if anything's wrong or what there, but I can say right now, how I vote, all I can do is share with you. I would never endorse a candidate like the Star Telegram does or the Police Association, the Firefighter Association, which are really bad organizations. These are just damn right crooked organizations, okay? And not that my endorsement would be any good to anybody, but I'd never do that. Even if we were in a position to have more, a bigger show, I would not endorse candidates. The thing is to get you to endorse the candidates with your votes. And to... So what we're trying to do here is educate you on how to vote, or not how to vote, but bring you information to the candidates so you have a better chance to make an educated decision on the candidates. No one is doing that. No one's bringing them out to you where you can talk to them. And I'll tell you, this really cuts down the market, too. I'll say a good over 70% of them will not come on a talk show where they have to take questions, because if they ever did, you see how stupid they are and how crooked they are. So they're not there for the real, they're only there to fulfill their own self-wicked need, and that's it, people. They'll tell you anything. And this goes all the way up the chain to Washington, all the way up and down the chain. But I think, clean it up, it starts right here at home, in your city, with your mayor and your council member and your neighborhood association. Yes, right there at the riverbank. I've been at this for about 13 years ago. I was pretty brain dead, like 90% of the city. And I became aware of what's going on. And the more I got involved, the more I started seeing how things, I just could not believe how bad or how, what the system is. It's been neglected by the people and it's been run. Fort Worth has become a cesspool of corruption. Any kind of low-life person that wants to make an easy living off the people's tax dollar can come here and find a position. And that's no lie. You look at where all the people come from. Start calling for your own self. Check and see where everybody come from. The city secretary, city manager, city attorney, the mayor. And the list goes on and on. You find out where these people come from and how they keep bringing people in from out of town, out of state, and don't hire here locally. That should be a concern, really. But anyway, so anyway, after getting involved about 13 years ago, finding out how bad code compliance and stuff was and things that just really shocked me that was going on in our system, because I grew up to be American, not a communist. And it looks like our system is exactly becoming more communist, dictatorship. No one's voting. They don't want you to vote. And they're more of a making mayor and council like a private job or a private business is what it is for Maddie Parker here. And that's what Fort Worth is, a $1.7 billion business. And it's going to be run by a handful of crooks, really. And as long as they can keep 90% of the city dumbed down, then, they can keep going what they got going, you know. And if you start educating people what's going on or start trying to expose what's going on, they will attack you immediately. And that's where I'm at. I've been attacked by the city so many times with false things. I have been threatened to be sued. I've been banned from City Hall unjustifiably without a hearing. See, this goes to communism now. When they can inflict rules on you without a hearing, in a court of law, when you go there, you have a defendant and a plaintiff, and both parties are heard. At City Hall of Fort Worth by Mayor Maddie Parker, no parties are heard. It's just her decisions alone. And she has no guidelines, no rules, and when she does make them, she breaks them right there on the spot. So it's really out of control downtown Fort Worth is. But the answer, and like I said, after 13 years and spending a lot of time at council and stuff and going through the whole thing, I'm back to square one, and the real answer is your neighborhood associations. They're owned by the city too, and they use them to make everything look good when they pass zoning things and development. And when they want to raise, a triple pay and raise, these neighborhood associations are owned by, they're the ones that go down and vote for that for them. So, and it makes it's fake. It's not real. It's just a falseness. So what I've done in the last 3 months, 4 months, I've been working to start a new neighborhood association in the John T. White area. I grew up out here, went to school here as a kid and grown up out here. And actually the area I'm in right now in this area here is called Drawn Heights, the legal description. But so after complaining for several years to the city manager, the city hall, the mayor, the council members, about how corrupt the John T. White Neighborhood Association is, which they know. The vice president serves on the board under Councilmember Gina Bibbins. He's a realtor. They know. And they're all part of this flock that works together. So it's just like, you know, I might as well be talking to a wall and not complain about them. They can do whatever they want. And after meeting with the city manager, and here's where the city has a lot to do with this. The city has no power over how a neighborhood association actually works, their bylaws, all that. But the city does have one thing. It has a data bank with organizations on there. And it needs more than ever publicized guidelines to go by to be on that data bank, because they're allowing corrupt organizations all over the data bank. These organizations on there are not legit. They are crooked, a lot of them. So it needs to be cleaned up, and that's why I met with Mr. Cook, the city manager, to remove the John T. White one until they hold an open election. I didn't say to take away the John T. White in their session. I only demanded Mr. Cook to enforce our powers to make them do what, as a democratic thing, what we do in this country is vote on that. They hold secret elections. That way they don't, you know, get removed from their office there. So, and they keep control of the information coming in out here. So, and after that meeting with Mr. Cook, there was no answer, no replies. And there's still not a reply to today. It's been here. But I did stumble across something else. I didn't know what, I've been at this for some time, and finally came across something on my own here, which I wish I would have came across a long time ago. I started a petition to opt out of the John T. White Neighbors Association. I can do that. And the rules clearly say, which is on the city website, you go to the community engagement on the city website, stroll around, you can find the rules on how to, or you can call them and walk you through it. How do you opt out of a neighborhood association? You know, you draw the petition, and then you've got 60 days to get signatures. And what it says clearly on there in print, 51% of the map. So you draw a map in your area, and you name it the association you want, and then you get 51% of the houses in that area to sign that petition if they're willing to opt out and join your new neighborhood association. That area becomes that new neighborhood association. That's the way that works. And for example, or I'll try to put it another way for you, if you draw a map and there's 12 houses in that map, then you need 7 houses signature, and it's only one person per house, that's it, and to sign the petition. And then you can file that, and that map will be filed, and that becomes a new neighbor association, okay? Now, in my case, which is different than anybody else's, I just did that. I did a small one. I've got a big area I want to cover. I want to stretch this neighbor association out to get to the people and try to get them involved with this, the neighbor association. But I'm going to do a small one first, because the city's always pulling shenanigans on me and playing games and stuff like that, which is ridiculous. So that's what I did. I want to see what, and I'm so glad I did. I've gone through this small one here. And you're talking about a war. I mean, and plus I had to fight the city, I had to fight community engagement, and the Crooked Neighborhood Association on top of it. And what happened was, I had 12 houses in the map, I had 7 houses signed up and sent in on a Friday. It was good to go. On Monday, it was not good to go. 3 had backed out. Now, community engagement did not want to give me the names of the 3 that did not back out. That's wrong. It's got to be transparency, okay? We've got to open this thing up. This is community engagement. I mean, this is a neighborhood association. You know, we're not, you know, this should be, no reason not to be transparent all the way. I didn't know the names of who. And I said, well, never mind. I can figure it out. It's not that big. And that's why I did a small one. This is why it's paying off right here to find out. So, anyway, what I did when I talked to some of the ones, one backed out because he was threatened that he could not get the stuff done on his other property by the city. They would not do it if he signed on to the new location, to the new neighborhood association. He backed out by threatened. And that was enough for me. I didn't go anywhere. I'm sure they intimidated, threatened people, and lied, is what the... and also, it was not the John T. White Neighbor Association that did the calls. It was the owner of the property across the street from me. He has a house, and he took the garage and turned it into a house, and I believe he's renting it out, which is illegal. But nevertheless, he lives out of here, and he's not a member of the John T. White Neighbor Association. But he's the one that did the calling for them and threatened people and bullied people. My neighbor next door called me and said, you wouldn't believe the call I got from this David, because he used to live out here. And he told him to mind his own business, you know. He has no business doing this. But anyway, he did. This is how corrupt and how mafia-like this neighborhood association stuff is working. It's really unreal. But this is where the heart of it is. And this is where they're going to fight the hardest. This is where, if you want to do something for your city, something good for your kids, for other people, before you leave this planet, turn around and look at your neighborhood association. Start one, get involved, hold them in credit. Because these neighborhood associations are not doing their job, okay? They are not giving out information they should get out. And that's why I've started this one. But nevertheless, let's get back on track here. What I did was redraw the map now. And I have 4 houses, and that allowed me to make it 7. The map covers 7 houses, okay? It says 51% of the area. That's 7 houses. I have 4 signed up. Well, I submitted that back in, and they called me up there and said one of my 4 backed out, that I had 3. And I said, well, that's not true now. And it's not true, because these 4 I'm real tight with. I know automatically, and I went to Pete about that. He said, no, Brandy. So what we had to do is have Brandy call again and tell that she did not want to be in the John T. Watt Neighbors Association. And then I went to the, over the director's head, Michelle Duke, which is the director of community engagement. He's paid over $170,000 a year, three times more than a police officer. This is another line of corruption and overpay, inflated pay is how they pay people off in corruption right here, inflated pay. But anyway, I'm going to read to Renee, which they brought in from Austin. See, they bring in people all the time, and he's over here, so I'm sure he's making over $200,000 a year. I'm pretty sure he's the chief. Anyway, I went to Renee about this, and he says, you only have three. So anyway, I said, look, by the end of the day, we'll have that cleared up. I got a hold of Brandy. She called in, left word on his machine, everything. I called the next day. He says, yes, you have four houses. And I said, okay, and 50% of the map at 7, it reaches me one end of the Faye Street to the other end. There's seven houses in the map. I have four of them. That's 51% by the rules. We're done. We're set. We're ready to go. Yes. Also, let me bring up something real quick here. When I called Renee about this, first, I left the message, and he called me back later that day. And when he called me back on my cell phone, he wanted to talk to me if I had time to talk about this. And I said, well, I want you to call me on other phones so I can record our call. And he didn't want to record a call. Okay? And I said, you're public community, public engagement. This is public engagement, and you don't want to record. And he finally, he gave in. He said, okay, I'll record the call. So he gave in. He called me, and I'm glad I did, because everything I got is on recording here. Now, I have our conversation on recording, okay? So, but anyway, he confirmed, this is the map, it's drawn, we got four houses that we have signed up, and that gives us seven out of the whole thing, the other three. Now, after I got off the phone the next day, Michelle Goop, the director, sent me an email saying, Mr. Willoughby, we can only give you the four houses that you have signed up, because the other ones do not want to be in. They want to stay in the John T. Watt News Association. Okay, I've called back, and I left word Michelle, and I left word Renee. I've not heard back. I'll be calling again on Monday. And I want to clarify this for one thing. The only thing I'm hearing is Michelle tell me they don't want to be in there. I didn't hear them say, and plus some of these people signed up originally before they were bullied out, which I made that case real clear with the community engagement that the John T. Watt is using intimidating, bullying, mafia type like stuff, and they should be removed from the data bank. That's all there is to it. That organization should not be on there. But, you know, that's that. So, but nevertheless, so where I'm at on my Drawing High STEM Association is up in the air to this week. But I should have the whole thing. It should be done. And the second thing that Michelle does not want to give me, if you start a neighborhood association, or if you drive around through the city or through neighborhoods, urban neighborhoods, if you look on top of street signs, sometimes they'll call sign toppers. They'll say the historical area, Hanley Neighborhood Association. Well, I wanted to get Drawing Heights Neighborhood Associations and put those on the each end on the street sign on top. And that's my trophy. I'm entitled to that. I want to get those. Michelle also said that I could not have that either because I only have four houses, and the four houses all we're going to be able to draw a map around. So she's clearly breaking the rules here. She does not draw the map. We do. Okay? So I just want you to know that if you start to take out a 30 organization, a neighborhood association in your area, you better be ready to fight, okay, if you're going to do it right. And you're someone that's not afraid of the city, and you're someone that's going to give all the information out. Because a real neighborhood association, what I have planned to do with Drawing Heights, if we can go on and grow this whole area, there's enough people in my area to control the vote to the council member. The council member. There's only 2,000 votes will put a council member in office here in this district. And there's more than that in our area. So we could actually have enough people to actually control the vote of the council member. So that way they'll set up and pay attention to what we're saying and represent us when they get to office. And if each district would do that, each of them in their neighborhoods, associations, and start putting people that will hold them accountable. Now, here's another thing. The neighborhood association that I'm putting together, we'll inform that, like when City Hall took away our right to speak, maybe you don't want to do nothing about it. Maybe you don't think that's important, okay? But at least you ought to be aware, okay? And that's the kind of stuff you'll at least be aware of, for sure. And the drawing hunt stuff, all that kind of stuff there. Anything to see when they're asking for a triple pay and salary, you'll be informed. Anything to do in your in our area in zoning, development, they'll be informed. Also, the Drawing Knights Neighborhood Association bylaws will have an open Facebook, not a private one like the Meribrook Notes Association or the John T. White private. It'll be open. I'm leaving it open. I don't have no problem with that being open. I want to share information with everybody, too. Not inside our group, and anybody that wants information, I want to be able to share it, and I want it wide open. The other bylaw would be no one can ever be banned from the Drawing Heights Neighborhood Association or banned from running for office in the Drawing Heights Association, running out of words, Neighborhood Association. Unlike the John T. White one, if you have a different opinion, they can ban you without a hearing or anything. They'll just ban you. Those black mark and put you out, okay? That's not a neighborhood association, my friends. That's not it. But anyway, this is where it's going to start at, really, to ever change this city, I think, to get things on track. I do a lot of social media advertisement and a lot out there, but I guess sometimes people misunderstand my posts as venting less than they realize I'm just trying to share what's going on, hoping that people will get involved and do something. But mostly through our social media, there's only a few that do, and most just want to vent. They just want to talk or be the first one to tell you something or show something. So that's all there is there, basically, is what I'm learning. I don't have no confidence in our social media that will get out and do anything hard. I don't see it, except for just a few. We have a handful. So that's another reason I'm working on a neighborhood association, going door to door. And when I put out leaflets door-to-door, I reach everybody, unregistered voters, Democrats, Republicans, you know, everybody. Unlike how it goes in the elections when these people run for office stuff, they send their flyers out, but only to the ones that voted. So they keep, it's the same melting stool that they keep working in their pot, and they just kind of jogger back and forth, people fighting for these spots in those areas with the same kind of people in the same group voting and that. And it, but in the end of the day, it really doesn't change. You never get anybody to stand up and do something different. You know, I'll have to, we got one council member, Chris Nettles. He's a little bit different than the others. So I'll have to give him a little bit of credit. And that came from because he got in the office. He was out there with us. He went to some meetings. He spoke at city council. He did some stuff. The people we have in our city council, 90% of them never even been to a council meeting in their life. They're just placed in office. So anyway. And also, with a good neighborhood association, not only do that, they'll also work on trying to get people together to do petitions to the council and the mayor to put campaign contribution limits on the ballot. There's a lot of things that need to be addressed that affect everybody, not just one side or one party or one person or one group. They affect everybody. And these things affect everybody are the things that no one looks at. Trying to get, you know, term limits on the ballot, campaign contribution limits on the ballot, put back our right to speak at city council. I mean, stuff like that. No one wants to touch that kind of stuff. Now, you talk about in one part of the city where they have an environmental problem, you'll see that group down there at City Hall, and they're yelling about that to the high heavens. But once that's answered or done or whatever, that's it. They don't look at anything else. Everything else just keeps floating like it does. Or the other group that came in about the homeless, the low-income homeless place they got right in the middle of their district. They came down a group yet. Yelling about that. But once that's done, they're gone. So city council and the mayor do whatever they damn well please in between and however they want to do it. And what they're doing is slowly but surely taking control of the city where we don't have any say. And they start banning people without cause. They have really messed up the council agenda. This Matty Parker's messed that up something terrible. You can't understand the agenda because it does not go in sync with what you're talking about, and they did it on purpose. We've added two more council members under a scam. That's the biggest scam at all in front of anybody. No one cares. That's one of those things no one cares about. It's not an environmental problem in their backyard. It's not biting them directly in the butt, so they don't care. And these are the things that are going to, it's hurting us, and it's going to hurt a lot of people more in the future that we can change and put a stop to. And so, I didn't hear back from Teresa so far. No call-ins, nothing like that. So this might be a dead air or not, which is okay with me. I have a show next week with 12, Congress 12, taking Kate Granger's seats up. We have a few people calling in from that one to be on the show, so I think we'll have some there. Also, we'll do some updates on, I'll run across a little bit about court cases and stuff right now. I have several court cases going on because we don't have a mayor. And if we had a mayor, these things would not be necessary. I would not have to have the one coming up against the two police officers that did wrong. And this leads right back to the mayor. Even though it's going to I'm filed in court and all that kind of stuff, it's the mayor. And here's how. The mayor is the tree of the city, and everything branches out from there. Okay. The city manager, who has control over the city employees, answers to the mayor. And if the mayor does not instruct the city manager to do something about the police chief not doing his job and getting one that will do his job, because Police Chief Neil Noakes, as you can see on my website, FW5, he runs from the camera. He runs out the building. He won't answer questions. He takes questions from anybody in that building but me, and he runs from me. I'm watching. I've got him on film. He took 15 minutes with three different women answering all the questions they want. And I said, you got a minute? Boom. No, he's out the door. Because, okay, so this goes back. He needs to be replaced with a real police chief that can take control into, like Fitzgerald. Now, they fired the last real chief we had in 19, which is, I got some court cases coming up himself, whatever. And he was fired for whistleblowing. But then the city, the people coming to help him, to protect him, nah, he got fired. He's fighting to get back. Our council and mayor has spent over $500,000 in outside lawyers fighting to keep him from coming back. Do the people do anything about that? This is where neighborhood associations can educate us about stuff like this and put a stop to this nonsense going on. That money would be far better used for fixing streets, lights, something, other than outside lawyers. $500,000 outside lawyers. And you know why you had to spend $500,000 to spend someone to remove someone from the city? It's because when they're innocent, you had to spend that kind of money. When they're guilty, the rules will apply. But when they're innocent, you have to use that money and trump things up and use all those different rules and laws and try to, you know. And that's the problem right there. So this goes back to the mayor. We need a mayor. You have to have a good mayor. And this is the worst mayor the city's ever had. And it's got us on, it's terrible. But nevertheless, so if we had a police chief, I could have filed my complaint against these officers, what they did, and we could have had a meeting, we could have had a hearing, we could have came to a conclusion on what was real, if they were wrong or right, and settled it right there. It could be settled right there. But they don't do that. They run off. So all the choice I have to ever get this is to go to court. And the courts are already overloaded. So this is not good at all. And plus, when we go to court, they get attorneys at our tax dollar expense. So I got to pay for their attorneys. And then I go get, I got, it's like a peewee team going against the Dallas Cowboys in a football game. So it's not fair whatsoever, but I feel my evidence are overwhelming enough that my ignorance of the law, that the overwhelming evidence may carry through is what I'm counting on in this case. So, but anyway, we can talk about that after the next show next week somewhat. And that, so anyway, I got on the 16th, we're supposed to do a Zoom meeting. I don't want. I have filed a request to not have a Zoom meeting, but an in-courtroom hearing. I don't want to go to that. I don't want to do Zoom. I'm already at a disadvantage, so like that. And I'll be filing papers on Monday to the judge, too, on my case, because their lawyers have filed a motion to dismiss this case, which that's what they do. And against the case I have against Matty Parker, I've already got that too. They filed to dismiss. Right off the bat, they'll file to dismiss, you know. So Anyway, so I don't know what I'm doing here, but I filed a motion Monday to dismiss the defendant's dismissal, attorney's dismissal. And I'm providing statements in there that for one thing, the attorneys for the defense, I was removed. Well, I guess I'll give a little bit of information what this one's about. I was removed from the Hanley Community Center at a public meeting and banned from there. And this is all done because of council member. It's all politics. This is with Gina Bivens, council member. She was there in a public meeting. But anyway, they state that I was disrupted. That's what they said is why I was removed. And I'm at the very front row, and you can see the film from the back. The cameras in the back got a film of all this. And the officers that removed me, also, Councilmember Bivens was sitting to my right about seven people. There was an aisle between us, I think, and about three or four people over on the front row, too. She was sitting there closer to the person that was hosting the show, the event. And from the back room watching the camera, you can see Gina, she raises her arm in the air with her phone. And at that time, you see an officer come in view from the back of the room, up the alleyway to the side of my chair, grabs me by the arm. She doesn't have to pull me up because I'm not resisting. I come up out of my chair. You'll see how easy I come up because I'm not resisting anyway at all. But I am shocked because I was not expecting this. I've never been shocked like this in my life. I'm 66 and I've never experienced anything like this, especially from the police. But anyway, she takes me by the arm and marches me out of there in front of everybody, across the front, in front of Gene, all the way across the front to the edge and then out. But as she takes me up, I can see, because this happened so quick, I couldn't understand what's going on. It happened so quick. Officer Board comes in the picture from the left. Now, he's at the front of the building where I'm at. But you see him coming in, and he grabs my other arm. And now they're on each side of me, marching me across out there. And you got a question. If I was causing a disturbance, why wasn't Board the first officer? He's right there by me. The officer from the back of the room is the one that comes up. So that's a question. I want to know why, how that happened. But nevertheless, I did put in the paperwork that, well, I'll tell you what, I was so shocked that happened so quick, and they marched me out of there, and that was so shocking that when they got me out and let go, if you would have asked me to identify these officers in a lineup, I would not be able to. I did not know the picture of these officers for over a few weeks before I found out who they were, which ones they were alongside of me. It happened so quick. I guess being shocked, I did not know who they were. No, this was humiliating doing that in front of, especially I'm running for office as a candidate for office. So Gina had me marched down there like that, and it was humiliating, embarrassing. And also, but I did learn something from this. That paper they gave to ban me from the community center. Now this goes into another that's more important, much more important than the case itself. The piece of paper they gave condemned me, convict me without a hearing for life. And there's no, so I got to be fair saying I am banned from the community center. It doesn't say for how long. And it does not have any numbers or anyone to contact if you want to try to appeal this in case you felt you got this unlawfully. Because that could happen, you know. So we always should appeal anything or have a chance to. And but no, it doesn't. So that came to my attention. And as time goes on, if we get a chance, we need to really work on that. We need to, I did take it to Phil Soares, our attorney general. I brought it to everybody. I called a lot of people. No one cares. No one wants to change it either. That shows you what kind of people we got in office. They don't want to change it either, and they think it's okay. So, I mean, that just really turns my stomach on some of these politicians. They're not, you know, even though I voted Republican, doesn't mean I support the Republicans we got around here. They're no better than the Democrats around here. Both sides are just rotten, if you ask me. Most of them are. The percentage of both sides is just totally rotten. And that's it, you know. Because you look at the tax assessor on the Republican side, Wendy Burgess, and you have Rick Barnes, one of the cheer people running against her. And you go to their website. You'll see places to donate money, but you don't see anything about contacting them, talk to them, offering them to come on the show to talk. Neither one wants to come out and talk, you know. These are candidates we don't need anymore. We're infested with these kind of candidates. We do have some coming on the show. We do have some, and that's why I'm trying to narrow down the vote. And I kind of got off track there a little bit. But anyway, it all ties together. The first thing we're going to do is try to get candidates in, and all we're going to get good candidates in, if we get people voting, all we're going to get people voting is to get down into the grassroots to your neighbors that aren't voting. 90% of the city doesn't know what's going on. They have no incentive to get involved if people don't start trying to expose what's going on to them. They try to get them involved, and that's what I do. Try to. And a lot of them misinterpret it as sarcasm against the city or something like that, but that's not the case. It's just, it's what's going on right now. And but anyway, so that's what we're trying to do. I'm going to work here in the, it's the John T. White area now, but the Drawn Heights Neighborhood Association that I'm working on, I'm hoping that I can expand it all the way across the John T. White area and have a big enough one that we can actually, and if we could ever do that and get it done, then maybe we could set a precedent for other neighborhoods to do the same thing to start. And I think that would be the trail to do to start cleaning up the city. And that's what we need to do, is clean up our city. It's been neglected. And for those who come to try to leave a better place and do something, you know, other than for yourself, you know. So, anyway, so let's see. Oh, yeah, I know something else I want to touch on. I may talk about these same things next week after the show, too, then. But one other thing I want to tap on, I had Officer, the incumbent, Officer Campbell, came on a show. Constable Campbell was on last week's show. I always go to a podcast and hear it. There was a lot of calls, a lot of things said to him, about him to me, from other people out there when I booked him. And that's why I had the show. So you can come on and ask him yourself and clear it up. Now, he came on and no one challenged, no one came on. So all that stuff they said to me is just kind of melted away in relative. That's what we're trying to do. So right now I have to give a lot of hands out to Mr. Campbell, and his counterpartner would not respond or come on or answer. So yeah, that's the whole thing there. And he's, and usually now my experience so far is the incumbents, the ones that usually do not come on the show, it's the candidates running all day. This time it was right the opposite. And I wish it was more like that. That's what we need. That's what we need. More to come on that are incompetent. You know, not incompetent, but the incompetent. You know, the one that's already in office. So that was good. And he's running for constable and had a chance to talk a little bit about the court system there. And that's something I want to, another topic I'd like to bring up and discuss with people too. Our small claims courts need to be modified. And the way we do that is we need to go before the county judge with letters or whatever to our commissioners and that to modify the small claims court. I filed a case in small claims court against a president of a neighborhood association that tore down one of my signs, and I took her to court there. It cost me $150 for the jury trial. Also, I'm out another $140 for the signs. So I worked about $300 out, okay? But anyway, I take it to court. I sue her for that. I win my case. I hadn't got anything, okay? So the criminal walks away with no problem. Then my next choice is I'd have to spend more money to put a lien against her house or another $150 to do a writ. I'd be up $450 now. And there's no guarantee now that risk. I didn't know they could go up your bank account, what all, but because I couldn't find a list of what all was included. That's why I didn't do that. If I could find a list of what all it would say from, we can do this, then I might have, you know. But there again, even though I might have done it, I'm still against it, 100% against it. That's why we need to go to the commissioner. Once you pay for your jury fee and you go to court and you win, you shouldn't have to spend another penny. Not 1 cent more. The courts should do the writs and put it in the case against the person and get their money back and our money, or even raise it higher and also inform them that they're going to do it, and people will pay up, okay? But we have to do it after winning the case. I think that needs to be modified, needs to be changed, and I can't see why any commissioner would disagree to that. Do you? If you can see any reason why, let me know. And if you think we should do that, then let me know too. So if anybody tunes in this podcast and listening to this stuff, well, then good. But, you know, so anyway. Okay, so it's a nice Sunday night, and I think I'm going to call it a night is what I'm going to do here. And next week is the, like I say, House Congress for 12, the run for Kate Granger's seat. So I've invited all on. I'll do a follow-up again this week to see if any other ones come on. We did have some replies from two or three, so we'll see if they'll come on. Also, that'll be the last show I'm going to do on this till around August when we get ready for the election time, and I'm going to do some work between now and then and see what kind of candidates I can line up they want to come on. Also, this show is kind of a tool. It's good for candidates that don't have money. It won't get exposure. So I don't understand why they turn away the chance to do this, to come on here. When you can do it from a payphone, you reach everybody in the city, and it's free exposure, you know. So I guess if you're a candidate that has passion, that wants to do the job so bad that you really want to do the job and you want it, those are the ones that will come on the show. They want to get elected, and they want to come on the show, and they're going to go everywhere to all the forums. The difference between this show and then your Republican or Democrat women leads of voters there and all those kind of Sierra Club, I didn't even do it. When I run for office, I don't even answer Sierra Club. I already know who they're going to endorse before they give it to me, okay? I don't answer them. But anyway, what's the difference between us and what makes this show different than all the other shows? Are they different programs, things they do, groups, whatever you want to call them? There's something different here. They don't never advertise outside the same circle, just like the candidates. It's all in the same group, you know? And that's where we're reaching out. I put signs out across the city for local voters. I put cards out. I do advertisements in papers and stuff like that. So I'm trying to, and I do leaflets and stuff. So I'm trying to reach the general public. That's where we need to start tapping. Over 90, or probably about 96% is not involved. 96%. And it's their responsibility to help us to stop these people from taking advantage. We are losing so much money downtown and being ripped off so bad. And it's just too much to go into right now. But I have, you know, it's easy. It's really easy if you want to know how to sum it up, how bad they are downtown. I kind of stumble for words here. But, yeah, the money they're wasting, the way they're giving away, just like community engagement, millions of dollars. This is not a nonsensical program. It needs to be waxed, taken out, and it can have some need for the city brought back, but under a new modified way that's more for the citizens and not City Hall. Right now they're using it to pay it for themselves. See, so that needs to be. The council members used to go out in the public themselves and meet people and talk and have meetings. Instead, they take our money and put together this group called Community Engagement and let them go out and do it and pay them to go do it, large sums of money. They're going to do what the council members and the mayor should be doing. So, you know, that's just, you know, wake up, okay? We just got to turn things around. It won't take that many to really make an impact and change the city, and there's nothing like, feels better than when you get a group of people together and you complete at least one goal, okay? One goal. So I'm open to help anybody on any one goal that is good for the overall city. Not an isolated problem, but an overall. Put back our right to speak at city council. Term limits on the ballot in November. Campaign contribution is a big thing. They bought Maddie Parker with $1 million. They placed her in the office there. Not elected, placed. With over $1 million. Job pays $29,000 a year. And they put $1 million. Those people didn't spend all that money just for the hell of it. I'm telling you, because this is a $1.7 billion business, and they're controlling our tax dollars, our money, and then they're disrespectful as hell to us. So that's what this show's about, trying to reach the general public, waking them up, knowing what's going on, hoping they'll get involved. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard to change the city. It's very easy to. So it won't take much. It'll just take a little effort. That's all. That's all. And that. So. And I'll tell you what, I'm pretty sure I've got everything I want in life. I don't need anything else. The only thing left now is that I'm aware of what's going on downtown, and I want other people to be aware, and I think we need to change it because, you know, I don't want to lose what I've got. I'm happy with what I've got. I don't want to lose it. and I've got more probably than I deserve, and I'm very appreciative of what I've got. So, I mean, I'm very fortunate, really. But I feel guilty. There's a lot of people that don't have. A lot of people are being mistreated by the city. There's children in a mission downtown in Lancaster there right now. I've been there for a year on that mission. So that's not good. They ought to be in a house, a yard, and a dog to play with, something like that, kids, or and going to school from there. So these kind of things bother me, and they can be at least more attended to if we get the right people in office, but it's going to start all the way down at the bottom, all the way, I've come full circle, right back to where I started. Neighborhood association, make it a real one. Get someone that wants to look at the council agenda, learn what's going on, inform people, your neighbors, about bond meetings, budget meetings, redistricting. That was the biggest scam I watched for 5 years, and there wasn't a damn thing I can do, just yell, but it's just like a train that wasn't going to stop, and it did. And I swear, if I was to get in office, I feel I have one ally with Chris. I think we could start cracking the, we'd make some changes. And share a lot of information with people. I'd kind of like to see the city change its system and go what they call large, and not district voting, but large. If we did that, that would take away all the gerrymandering out of it, you know? It'd really take the wind out of their sails, too, and it'd make the people stronger if we went large. And what that is that no matter what part of the city, you get to vote on every one of the council members. So if council members in the past voted away who don't think's right for that's good for us, you have a chance to have a say over them. They have a say over what happens to us. Now you'd have a say over them. And I kind of like that. I think I'd like to see everything has its pros and cons. I don't know yet what all the cons are to that, but I sure would like to explore that more. But it'll never be explored with the kind of people we've got in office right now. We're going to have to change that. But that's something I'd like to explore. And that would anything to give people back power, you know? Also, I'd like to get a group of people to come down and push to see how they took away, I guess that's one thing I was going to talk about. The city's growing. They added two more council members, which is costing us money for nothing. We don't get any, that does not benefit us at all. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars we're just giving away for nothing in return. I promise you nothing. If anything, it makes them bigger and stronger and more corrupt. So, pardon. I was going somewhere and I lost it. It was good there. But anyway, oh, that's what it was. We had two more council members, and then they turned around, and they reduced council meetings from 4 times a month to 2 times. So they cut the meetings down to half and enlarged the group. And then what they did, they gave us 2 public comment meetings, and they took us off the council meeting. There's no public comment on the city council meetings. That's just unreal, and no one doing anything about it. That's unreal. People are just stuck because they don't affect them direct. They don't. But this is going to really going to hurt, I think, down the road if we don't do something. But they took them off, and how they got away with taking them off by saying, well, we're going to give you 2 public comment meetings where you don't have to wait with all the people and all the other things, and we're going to specialize. So what they did, what this really is in reality, they're not public comment meetings. It's quarantine with the crooks. That's all it is. 2 meetings, quarantine with the crooks. Because talking to them, you must be talking to a brick wall. They're only going to do what they want to do. They have no respect for people. They don't answer questions. We've got a dishonest mayor, dishonest manager, and they gave us that. And a lot of people, the neighborhood associations, other ones that go down and say, oh, we thank you, mayor, for this. This is so great. Well, here's the problem. They think it's so good to be at the top, not the way. Well, when Maddie Parker took office, you can go look at the council. The first day she, her first council meeting that she hosted, whatever, was mayor, the first thing I said to her was, I didn't want to waste time. I want to find out. I've been at this for a while. Not wasting any time to find out. I want to find out if you're for real. Or I talk about transparency is just BS like so many other people give us. And actually, it's BS. But you know, let's find out. So the first thing I told her, I said, and at that time, we had our public presentation on the council agenda so we could talk. We always had that for years. The city, all the other cities have it, but we don't. And asked her, I said, which I've been asking this before anyway, earlier, to Bessie Price. I don't know if I got to Bessie Price or not, but I did get to Maddie. Moved the public presentation because we were on the bottom of the agenda. We were the last ones to speak. And we had to wait through all that other stuff before we got to speak. Okay? So that's what they make the private presentation look so good if you don't have to wait. You know? Well, this is bullshit. Because what they should have done, what I asked them to do, move our public presentation, the people, from the bottom of the agenda to the top of the agenda. Okay? We don't have to wait down either, do we? Right there. Also, what they have is what's called a council presentation. And I call it the council celebrity hour. That's all it is. It's photo shots of them and all this stuff to make them look good and all this stuff like you want to see. And we got to sit through this crap for 30. Now they add two more councilmen. You got to sit through it for almost half an hour before you get down to business. They make you watch. I ask them, move your council public presentation to the bottom of the agenda like we were. Okay? Go down there. Get you down there. And at the end of the night, if there's no one here to watch it, then you get to go home early. Okay? And all the people that are here before for zoning and all this business we're here for, we didn't have to sit through that. Okay? But of course not. What they did, they took us completely off and left themselves at the top. The most self-centered people there is right downtown. And they're getting away with it because we're not doing anything about it. And it's just unreal. So I'm back to square one. Every association, slowly but surely, I'm going to try to, that's all I can do. And if I can't get people to wake up here in my neighborhood to wake up and do anything, there's nothing I can do. Except, you know, fortunately, I don't have much more time on this earth anyway. So, and like I say a lot of times, if it wasn't for dying, I'd really be worried. But anyway, that's what I want to do before I leave here is try to help do something good. You know, I think that's that is the meaning of life when you start, you know, when you learn that it's not all about what you can get for yourself in life, you know. It's what you can do for others, too. And I believe in all that kind of stuff. But also not to be, I don't know. I see people, they go out and they pick up trash and they want to get patted on the back. They did a good job. They cleaned this area. And we're doing our parts for the city. And those people won't come down and speak about the stuff they're doing wrong with city council. That's, you know, that's not good. That's not good. And also, pick up trash. We need to change laws and make these crooks pick up their own trash, okay? There's ways we could do that. We don't have to do that. But yet, they cater to them by cleaning it up and let people throw more stuff out so they can go clean it up thinking they're doing something good and feel good about themselves. If they really want to do something good, there's things that need to be done that is really critically bad that need to be done. And that is taking back our city hall in Fort Worth from Mayor Matty Parker. This is the worst person that could ever be down there, I'll tell you. And I'll go as far as say, there's just no words to describe it. Wester's dictionary, he didn't write one worse enough to describe it. I guess in September, October, November will be the elections, and around maybe August, September, we'll start advertising again and see who can get on our shows that can come on and talk to you and help people try to get a more educated vote. Don't just vote because someone tells you to vote. And don't vote by just because they're Democrat or Republican. These people, I swear, they'll tell you they're Mother Teresa if they can get your vote. They're not Democrats. They're not Republicans. The words for it, they're crooks. They're con artists. That's all. And they found an easy way. And they are milking it up, and we're paying for it, okay? So the party I'm going to lean to is one that start holding their own people accountable. When Democrats start holding Democrats for part of it, and Republicans start holding Republicans accountable, I'll be happy. That'll be good. I'll tell you. And some people don't understand why I support Trump. Well, Trump's not a Republican for one thing. And he's not a Democrat for another thing. He is a businessman and a damn good businessman. And we've got the dirty media out there, and that's why they go after him. It brings up something else, too, real quick, just because anybody listens to this. But he has no baggage, and that's why they couldn't stand him in office. And he goes after Republicans, he goes after Democrats. He stays on the issue, an answer, and he's right. While he was in office the first time, he could have gave the best health care there was, and Democrats would have voted against it anyway in office in the House. Because all they think about is getting back in power. That's their only thing that they're obsessed with. That's it. They don't know how to run the country, right? They just insist on that. And they don't, you know, that's the game they want to play. And so they spend all that time with corruption or collusion and impeachment, you know, everything they could to, instead of working on the country. It's unreal. And now, look, they got all these indictments because they can't win on policy. These are not people that need to be in our system. They're crooks. And he's not touched by them because he's not owned by them. And he did so many things he didn't get credit for. Right to try. That's been very successful. He cleaned up ISIS in 3 months' time. They grew immensely under Obama. This country, and he cleaned it up in 3 months' time. Okay, so these things are they're very important to be done. He had a border. Our borders were being closed and that. The doors were open to come in, but we want you to come to the door and not the window. Okay, it's that simple. But, you know, Democrats won't say that. They'll use all kinds of things. Because all it is about them is winning back. And then Republicans the same way. When Democrat gets in, all they want to do is same thing, say against Democrat to get back in. But neither one of most of these people in these parties, most of them, the majority ain't worth a crap, really. And I don't know what they're going to say on Judgment Day or how they're going to justify their actions when there's no one around to help them. And they're on their own. I just don't know. But nevertheless, that's the case it is right now. And I think to clean it up starts right back here in the neighborhood associations, your local council members, your local mayor, and your local city. You get the corruption out of here first. And clean it up at home. And that's what I'm trying to do. So and it's not going to be an easy task. People have really been brainwashed not to get involved. But nevertheless, that's the answer there. And what I understand, I didn't watch any of the really news out there, what they call news, because it's you can't trust it. How can you determine what's real and not real, you know? So you can't trust it. I only go by what I can see. In the last election, what I saw, in Trump's election, I saw a man go out and get 20, 25,000 people line up to come in and see him all across the United States. And I saw another man that's running against him couldn't get 500 people. Only in the major markets, the big city, he might have got a bigger crowd. But other than that, nothing. Nothing. But he's the one that got put in office. And the one that got all the people come didn't get put in office. So I don't care Democrat, Republican, gender, any of that. I mean, anything to me. That's just simple, fat numbers right there. That's just simple to look at. And there's no getting around that, okay? And so, anyway, what I think is if Trump is put back in, it gets back in office again, what I agree with him on this, the terrorist attacks are going to start. And I don't know how severe they're going to be this time or how much they're going to be. Because I understand 18 million people have poured across our border since Biden's been in. 18 million. Now, I don't know for sure. Usually what Trump says can be verified, and I know that from, that's how I verify it. The Democrats don't go after him on what he says and say it's not true, and I have a reason to believe it is true, because even when they make up things and they can't find something, so they'd be jumping down saying it's not true, so I don't hear that, I don't know. But if that's 18 million coming across the border, and that will be terrorists. And what they're doing is stockpiling here. They're not going to attack right now. No way. They're stockpiling. They're bringing in more and more and setting up some kind of plan to disrupt this country. And once Trump takes office, just like when Bush took office, that's when they'll execute these plans to keep him busy, not running the country, but trying to counter this. Because they know if he gets in office, he will start a program that's sweeping these people up and putting them back out that really, the first ones, the ones that could be bad. That would be the first ones, I'm sure. I have no doubt. Not the women, children, the old, or whatever. It'll be the young, husky men that look like fighters and have the, they'll be the first ones. And if they start getting rounded up, that'll help, that'll start, you know, dissolving their plans. So they'll have to execute. They'll take what they've got then and put it in play. So, we'll see. And 2025 might be an interesting year, very interesting. But and I could be, we could be wrong. Maybe it won't happen. Maybe it won't. But history is learned from. Early 90s with Bill Clinton. It's when a Democrat gets in office when this happens. That's when they bombed the World Trade Center in 1990. A lot of people don't know that, are younger than me. They drove a car into the bottom, they tried to bomb. They didn't bring it down. They did not succeed bringing it down, but they did bomb trying to bring it down. 10 years later, we had 9/11. And that time, they succeeded. See, so, these people don't forget. They're still going at it. They may be quiet, but they don't forget. And Americans forget. They go on like nothing's happening, see? They run around like nothing's, you know. And so, not a very smart country. Not very smart. These people aren't very educated here. But right now, I would say the smart thing to do is stock up on a little bit of stuff when it gets close to election time. Start stock up a little bit of closet full of stuff that's just in case something happens that you can even share with other people if they need it, they're out. Like what happened in the pandemic, we ran out of stuff. So back up a little bit on toilet paper and toothpaste or, you know, maybe some canned goods, a little bit of stuff. I'm not saying go crazy, but it wouldn't hurt to stock up a little bit and be prepared. And if nothing happens, you can still use it. You know, it's not going to go to waste. So you're just really not, you know, you're not wasting any money. And it would be smart to do that to, I think, after if Trump is put back, if he gets elected back in office, of course, they're going to do everything they can to keep him out because he'll go after anybody. He'll go after, if you're wrong, he'll go after the Republican, Democrat, or the Pope. You know, and that's why he's an educated businessman. We've not had a businessman. And Biden is a politician. He's not a businessman. He's a politician. Barack Obama is a lawyer. He's not a businessman. He's a lawyer. You know. Same thing with Bush was not a businessman. I think he's more or less under politicians. So, and they say Reagan did pretty good with everything, and I think Reagan was an actor. So, I think he was a little bit different than that. But it's also, I believe, anyway, to change this stuff for the future, to ever get it going, it's not going to be overnight. It's not instant gratitude. It's going to take a little work, and I'll tell you, it feels good when you get involved. When you start turning around and getting involved and starting to see things change and do it, that's why I've been doing it for 13 years now. I spent a lot of money. I have no intention not to stop doing it. And in my words, until we get our right back to speak of city council, defeat is not a word in my vocabulary. So, okay. I drink a lot of coffee. And I tell a lot of people I need to change to decaf because I talk too much. But tonight, nobody has to listen. So anyway, so we ran on there. And that. So, okay, until next week, we're going to go chow here. And we'll do one more show then. And then we'll crank up around August and see if we can't get some candidates on and re-advertise. And like I said, when the constable came on, we had over 120 visits to the page, which is not bad for a small showing like mine, that's, you know, like this here on this level. It's not a, so that's really not bad at all for on this level, on an internet radio show. So 120, it's not bad. And looking back at podcasts, my biggest shows were 300 people when it came to the police. So that was, and I don't know, that might have been all police calling. I'm not looking in, so I don't know. But nevertheless, I look at these numbers and that, and I'm really pleased how the flow going to the website's good. And we're going to keep it up and try to get more information out there and get more people involved. So until then, if anybody tunes into this, I don't know what you'd call it, but whatever it is, anybody tunes into it, thank you. I hope you got some education there, something that was valuable there, and we'll see you next week if you want to, okay? All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know what? I hadn't been on all night long, have I? Okay. That's why it sounded like that. Okay. Okay, let's kill it down. Let's kill it.